it short if we can. People sitting, getting tired. You know, there's a formula that I think I mentioned it a long time ago. My wife has a little sticker from, she cut it from a magazine or somewhere. And, you know, one of these little magnets that you put something to hold in the refrigerator type of a thing. That thing says, the mind cannot retain what the seed cannot endure. So, yesterday, I make a mess yesterday. I start throwing materials. And you write notes down not to spread yourself and still don't follow the notes. So I have to behave and do what I can. I appreciate everybody here. I was thinking today, you never know, might be the last time that I'll be here, but you can never say never, you know, because you don't know the tomorrow. You just, many times you say never, we're back into it. I remember when I told Brother Seaver and the board there, I'm not going to be back to the camp. This is the last time. They said, all right, they called me. I said, no. So I stayed for a year. Then they came over to see me. He says, we got to do that. So I pray and I'm back at it. And the same thing with the Bible conference. You see, you don't want to abuse something. The Bible conference, it's a good time. We study. And they have the materials to read. We are only 60 there and get together. And I make mistakes. The first opening, we didn't mention, you know, allow preachers to come in. Well, the question started, somebody got a quote. The other person got a quote. By the time they get through, they kill the kids. You know that? It's nothing against the preachers, but they like to talk too much. That's the problem, you know? And then I put an announcement. I said, I'm going to put the announcement out. I says, this is for laymen only. No ministers allowed, no exceptions, period. Send it out. They call me, a minister says, what do you mean? I'm not going to send my congregation anyway. I said, all right, don't. You know, we've got plenty of people. You know, sometimes so many will apply, you have to say sorry. I says, there will be plenty. The next year, there were more demands than the year before. And it keeps on going. And then they said, we're going to have another one somewhere in another resort area. I says, no more. Because, you see, you can't do so much and then your body deteriorates. I hope that I wanted to retire. I told my wife, I said, let's sell the house and get out of here and go somewhere that nobody can find us. I said, you know, it would be good to go somewhere to retire, right? Another country even, you know, just go out and stay there and just help somebody that doesn't even know you, change your name, and you don't have to. Nobody can find you anymore. Have a post office box or something and change your name and let them trace you down. But, you know, I like to do that. I'm honest about it. But I'm battling with myself. And if the Lord doesn't give me grace, I want to do it. And unless He has to lift me one step higher because I'm just... you see a brother, faculty there that was here. You see, when you are at a university and you have graduate students or postgraduate, you have a semester. If they don't like you or you don't like them, they don't show up again. But you see, in the church, you have to live with the same thing over and over. You know, they never change with that. So I said, it's a certain amount of freedom, and then the books, the responsibility of the books, believe it or not, we send just about to every continent the books. It's just a tremendous pressure there. It's you can call it any way you want, psychological or something. You have the final book, and I'm sitting there. I know everybody's working, but I'm going to get beat up if it's a mistake there. So the last thing, you go over it again. And you get up at night, I might have missed something. You go over it again. By the time you get confused and you say, I'm no good anyway, then that's probably I need the prime time to get up at 5 or 4 o'clock. I normally get up at 4 o'clock or something. If I get up at 4 o'clock and go straight and just make sure there's no mistakes, and then I will get it out of my chest or something. Then I get upset. I put it in a box. I'm going to mail it to Los Angeles like that. Then I open the box again. So you see, I'm frustrated about these things. And then you see, you realize when the books go out and you get all these letters, the people say thank you, because there's some of them. You don't affect one or two persons when you put a volume of 14 books out at one time. All kinds of ministries with all kinds of doctrines will subscribe to the books. Do you know that? The most extreme people. We have everybody. And you know you are affecting just about every pulpit. And that's pretty serious business, right? To produce the materials. And it's kind of a hard experience for me, but I pray so the Lord will just give me some strength to finish a few more volumes and then see what we can do. I have to say this, that I traveled this time and I had the easiest travel that I ever had. I left L.A. It was a non-stop 13 hours. And 2 hours later, I slept for 8 hours straight. The plane had turbulence, was bumping around, and I knew it, but I was enjoying it. I was just sleeping. My wife got some kind of vitamins or something. She said to me, you have to take some vitamins now. So I said, oh, no, she got hooked up to something now. So I took these vitamins, and my feet wasn't swelling or nothing, so I felt pretty good. So I came up in New Zealand. I felt better than I started in L.A., and I just couldn't figure out. And I have done some quick flights and abused my body. One time I did 22 flights in 30 days. That's rough. That's rough. But I said, I'm so relaxed. So I came over and I pray. You know, the Lord has always something. You might not see it right then, but the Lord might strengthen a soul. Give them something that will be good in 6 months from now. You read the scriptures and you don't exhaust them, because it's eternal life. And there are memories, you cannot forget them. You say, Brother David, you did the preaching. Oh, I enjoyed your testimony this morning about the healing, didn't you? The brother. I says, look at that. The man is testifying, says what happened, thanking the Lord, and then he brought his own choir up here. I says, what is that? And I look at the people were relaxed, simple people, no fancy ties, so the preacher there with a jacket, and I said, this is the people of God. This is the ones I want to be identified. This is the little ones, you know that? And I'm so thankful to the Lord for them. You meet many great people in your life, but there's no greater people than the people of God. Amen. You know? They're just beating their little guitar there. And I says, that's true worship service. I says, look at it. Sometimes we worship God because we shout a little bit, we think we got it. I says, they have a subject there that they are worshiping. God performed a healing. They know what happened, and now they want to thank Him. And they were singing the song. I says, look at them. You know, if you stop sometimes and think what God is doing, He works so simple that we look so far away and we miss it. I learned that people of the message are confused. You know why? They look so far ahead that they don't look right here. You tell them, this is a restoration ministry. No, I got a new thing going, brother. Keep on going. Where are you going? Oh, I don't need the Bible anymore. I don't need this. I don't need that. They keep on going. Keep on going. Where are you going? Where are you going to stop? Have you any criteria, the scriptures that tells you to go? I said, he said to me, you better move, brother. I said to him, I haven't finished what I got right here. Where do you want me to go? Right? There's so much here that we can go and weep and cry before Him. We are nothing but spiritual bums. That's what we are. We won't say, to the world. We got it. We got this. We got that. I mentioned I was giving a couple of Xerox copies of some materials that I had of the first century. Think of it. And I was discussing the serpent seed. There was a relation between Eve and the serpent. I said, people got it, and there's some preachers in their heads. Says, I can't believe that. I said, well, you can't believe this. Only Brother Bram revealed it. I said, where did you pick it up from? You know? God had in His Word all the time. You know? I can get you the book of Genesis to study serpent seed. And your eyes will be rolling because it was back there. Everything is in the new was in the old. And the two agree together. You know what I'm talking about. So I'm so thankful to the Lord. Thank you for the songs. A brother found me. He said to me about the prodigal son. And I said, good, I'm going to preach about prodigal son. Because I love that, and compare it with Hebrews 6. So I said, then I'm more start getting into it. I says, well, I need more time to make it a series because there's so much material. I better stay out of it. I was debating a couple, three things, so I decided in something else. And the more I study, I said, I better review my material. So the phone ring. I pick it up, the wrong number, the wrong name. I said, hang up again. The ring again, about 5 minutes. Are you sure? I said, yes. So the phone rings again. She said, is this room 11? I said, yes. She said, listen, I have somebody listed here like that that stays there. I said, there's nobody like that here. I'm sorry. So I hung up. The phone rings back again. Are you sure? I said, you are disturbing me. I want to study. Please, leave me alone. I got work to do. But, you know, these things happen. You have to suffer with them and go on with them. Now, I was thinking about something tonight. And I'll keep myself into 45 minutes. I was told one time by a great man, Dr. Deaver. He's dead now. He says, David, after the first 45 minutes of what you're going to say, if you have any audience, he says, then after that you destroy what you did the first 45 minutes. He says, you better condense your materials, be precise, take the mind of the people, the prime time, and they'll get it, because then you put them to sleep. So I said, I'll do that. So when we look at the scriptures, there are certain things that we see. And I like to speak about a subject probably some of you are familiar, and that's about a kinsman. You remember the term kinsman redeemer? And I'll make it very simple because it's related to me and to you. When you start looking what is a kinsman, it's a singular tense, in the form of a kinfolk or something from the same family. But there we have two words, a kinsman and kinswoman. Do you know that? There are two forms in the Hebrew there. A kinsman is a man of the same blood relation. It has to be the blood there. A kinswoman is a woman of the same family relation. There's a difference. You remember, I'm touching the blood right now. The same blood relation. If you go through the scriptures and you try to compare it with our vocabulary, sometimes it doesn't match. Because we say, oh, Sister Betty Jones gave a birth to a baby. But the scriptures never found out a woman gave a birth. Always a man gives the birth. Do you know that? He says, O men ani yena, the man gives birth. Yineka tikti, which means the woman reproduces what was in the seed. So you have to have the blood relation to have the seed in you. And a kinsman has certain responsibilities in the scriptures. And if we look at the responsibilities, just remember what I believe. I see the same God of the Old Testament and the New together. Amen. And if you see that, anytime you see something happen in the Old Testament, you are built up to a direction that you say, who is it in the New? What happened? I just want to see the two fit together so good. Because then you see, you say, God of heaven, you're in Genesis, you're in Exodus, you're in Leviticus, you're all over the same God. Look at you, speaking all over. What these people are talking about, you don't know. And that kinsman now, if you take the lexicographers, I shouldn't be using this term. Lexicographer is a person that writes a dictionary. Lexis is a word. Grapha means write. To write, the ones that write the dictionaries. The Hebrew dictionary writers, we see them that they have a word there which is called goel. For a kinsman. And if you try to take and translate a goel in their writings, in the Hebrew writings, they call him something that means to redeem you or a redeemer. You know, a goel is a redeemer. Has a blood relation. Now, in the Old Testament Hebrew, that definition has been considered to be the same word like parakletos or paraclete. You remember that word paraclete in the scriptures? You say, Brother David, what is a paraclete? It's kind of a strange word to me. Although in 1 John it says we have another advocate with the Father, the word parakletos appears there again. We have another paraclete. And you say, what is a paraclete? You go to John 14, 15, 16, and all the way down, you find that the Holy Ghost is the paraclete. Klesis is a court case. Paraklesis standing by the court case. It's an attorney. And now God has an office as a paraclete in Christ. Do you know that? He's the one that stands for you in judgment. You take a court case, and he's going to represent you now. He's going to say, David Mamelis didn't do that. And remember, the attorney, the paraclete, is the same one with the judge. So the attorney cannot lie because he's a God. He's the same like God. God in flesh. And the attorney stands there and he says, I have paid the price. He has done wrong. I know that, but he's under the blood. It's like a bumper standing there before the judgment. And that paraclete now defends you. And you know the function of the paraclete? Sometimes you say, now, Brother David, I can get the Holy Ghost and just shake real good and fall on the floor, my feet up, my head down. Probably I got it. But you know, you never got any promises like that. Bodily exercise profited a little. Right? You come to zero. This is not a gym. It's a function that God is going to do. If that paraclete stands up there, and what he does, he will reprove the world of sin. You know what he'll do to you? He'll say, listen, something's ticking inside. That is wrong. Oh, but everything is all right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got it. I shouted. Sometimes shouting can be negative instead of positive. Because the rain falls and you feel good, you feel that you have been forgiven. But unless repentance takes place, there's no forgiveness. Right? Yes. How many times we cover our sins with a lack of repentance, but just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry means nothing anymore in this world. True repentance, godly sorrow, brings you to repentance. So that paraclete says, it's still no good. What he does, your attorney now tells you about the case. Listen, we've got a problem with you. You better straight up. You better repent. Here's the case. Here's the blood. hears repentance, and the Lord's not convicting you. I like to see a revival like that. People say, we got a revival. Oh, we didn't even preach, brother. Everybody danced in the Spirit and had a great time. Was there any repentance there? What's that? But true revival is when you throw the trash out. You remember Brother Brown spoke about that? Is it better to have a revival of repentance that the Spirit of God deals so strong with us? And we go home and we look at ourselves and we say, God, forgive me. And God says, I forgive you, but you offended Brother John Doe. You better get the phone and not apologize. And you clean up everything and the devil gets out. Or you do your dance in the Spirit and the devil has more room to do more harm. So now that kinsman is also the paraclete. He stands for me. And I look at the kinsman, and in the Hebrew, that goel is among the Hebrew people was the nearest blood male relation that was alive. Has to be alive because he has to do certain things. And we know that there were certain things that the kinsman, if he likes it or not, he had to do. You see, we feel we can do anything we want to. But a kinsman had certain responsibilities that he had to do. Now, when an Israelite, we find out, because of poverty or and so on, was unable to redeem himself. He went over, for example, and said, now, I owe so much money, I cannot pay. I don't know what to do. And there are penalties against him. The Scripture tells us in Leviticus 25. Let's look for a minute in Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. The Scripture tells us on the 25th verse this. If thy brother be waxen poor, and have sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. You know, there's a price to be paid, right? Your brother got in trouble. So what are you going to do? He says, go and pay what you're supposed to pay. If I was, for example, a brother with Brother Howard, and I was the older brother, and something happened to him, the closest relation was me. And Brother Howard went over in some kind of bills and so on. He can't pay them. He says, now, listen, you got to work 8 hours a day in this place. And he worked for a month. He has to work for a year. I said, brother, I can go over and pay that penalty. And bail him out of that. And the ones that have the deficit rights, they cannot hold him. There's no way to hold him. Because why? As a kinsman redeemer, I have the right to go and purchase the problem. Remember, the ones that holds Brother Howard, he says, now listen, he got to work for a year for me. I says, no, sir. 11 months balance. 1 month you work, I pay you this, my brother is free. I like that. Because God put his law for a reason here. God doesn't write the Bible without fulfilling it. So that kinsman now that we see, when an Israelite through poverty, let's say, sold himself to slavery. And Howard goes out, he says, I can't afford anything, I cannot eat. I just need to sell myself. Sign the papers here, boy. You're going to work the rest of your life for me. Now, the owner that goes to buy Brother Howard, he cannot sign the rest of his life because at the time of Jubilee, he has to let him free. Do you know that? But I can go as a kinsman any time before that and pay the penalty, says he's free. And the owner, there's nothing he can say. Because I'm the brother. I'm the kinsman. There's a tremendous power in the Old Testament of the firstborn, the kinsman, and so on. And God put them in His work for a reason. So in order for him to get deliverance, now the same chapter, if you go to the 47th verse, and if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich, he says, by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger, or sojourning by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after he hath sold he away, be redeemed again, one of his brethren may redeem him. You have to be a brother or the same relation. And the closest relation brother can go there and pay the difference. And he says, leave my brother alone now. This is my brother. It's a beautiful study. So now he's going to be free. In the Old Testament, God frequently, we find the word literos, which means he paid the price. Literon is what you pay to buy something. A literos means I pay something, to get this item. So now I'm looking there. When you go home, read Isaiah 43:1 because my clock is ticking, my watch is ticking. Now, God also was represented in the Old Testament as a goel, as a deliverer. I'm wondering why. God now, Jehovah, says that he's my brother? What is that? And he represents himself. Study the Hebrew Isaiah 41:14. Isaiah 44:6 and 22, when you go home, you'll find out that God represents himself as a goel. Now, some of these passages, who don't realize it, they apply to Christ. But the most striking thing of that goel was the acting of an avenger of blood. If, for example, somebody goes and kills Howard. One time that we pick him up, once and we pick up Howard, let's stay with him. Well, somebody goes and kills him. Now, I'm the avenger of the blood. So the law says if I have the evidence, the guy that did it, I can go and kill him. Any way that I want to. I'm sorry to say these things if I want to say I'm going to cut his nose first. Then his ears, pluck his eyes out, leave him down. Anything I want to do, that man is in my hands. I'm the avenger of the blood. So when I see that, now the murderer, if for example it's a question about that, and escapes, he can go in a place there which is called the city of refuge. There's a city of refuge. Do you know that? In that city of refuge, now I'm talking about Numbers 35 for a minute. In that city of refuge, when you go in there, they wait for you a case of the elders and the priests and so on to decide if you were guilty or not. If you were guilty, they had to release you. To me, I'm the avenger of the blood. I have to kill that boy. That's what the law says I have to do, if I like it or not, because he killed my brother. I'm the kinsman, and he has to pay the price. Numbers 35. So now what happens, if he's found innocent, and I still want to kill him, he's in the city of refuge. Nobody can touch him. There were six cities of refuge. Three on the one side, three on the other side of Jordan. Very close to the priests there. Nobody can touch these people. So now in that city of refuge, you see, it's a protection until the death, not of the priest, but of the high priest. Now remember, high priest, I'll bring it down to the book of Hebrews if I can have the time. But that brother has such power that he can execute his power against anything you can imagine. If he can have the price, which you call the antilitron. Litron is the price. What happened? I messed up. Okay, thank you, brother. So if he has the price and pays the price, then he has the right of deliverance. Now you see, Brother David, what is all these Old Testament things doing now? What are we supposed to be doing in that city of refuge and the Numbers and so on? But now you see that kinsman relation, something takes place. Now let's go together and look some things. Might help you to strengthen your faith. Go with me for a minute to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is after Luke. John, the 20th chapter. John 20, the 17th verse. Christ's resurrection now and appearance to Mary. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. My big brother Jesus calls you and I brothers. He paid the price of the cross. He says, now I pay the price, you're free. We sing the song, we're in the family of God. But that's how you're in the family of God. Through kinsman redeemer Christ Jesus. With other words, my blood and their blood is the same. I pay the price. They were no good. They were street people. They were sinners. But I redeemed them. I don't care what the penalty was. I redeemed them and I pulled them out of there. And now they are my brothers. Look at a little boy sometimes in the corner. When somebody comes around and tries to beat him up. He says, let me go and call my big brother. He goes to the big brother. He says, John, this little kid's bothering me, you know. Big brother comes out. Everybody disappears. It's good sometimes to call you a big brother Jesus. Amen. He called you brother and sister. Yes. Did you ever knew that you are relation with Jesus? Amen. You're in the same family? Amen. You say, Brother David, what are you doing? I see the Old Testament and the New working together. I see one God. Amen. He wrote a book. He fulfilled it. Amen. I don't know if I can find it, but if you go with me to Psalms, I think it's 22. Psalms 22. Psalms 22:22. Listen to the prophecy. I will declare my name unto my brethren. You see, Brother David, that was in the Old Testament. It was there all the time. I like to see the word fitting like that, don't you? In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. David had a revelation there. He's going to declare his name among the brethren. Who are these brethren? You and I. Redemption by the blood of Jesus, paying the price of the cross. And what happened? He delivered you and me. Satan comes around and he says, now you make a mistake and so on. Remember, the Goel is your defender of the court of justice. And he sits there. And he defends you. So often, my mind works like that. Sometimes I feel sometimes I'm totally beat up. Sometimes, really, I'm so beat up, my competency drops down to 10%. But, you know, when I make one more step closer, and I look what happened, I said, my brother Jesus, help me. My first brother, my firstborn Jesus, we're going to see the firstborn of many of the scriptures. What do you think got it from? From the Old Testament all the way to the New, the same God. Right? Don't you like to see the Word of God like that? Old and New Testament fitting together like that. The devil says, what am I going to do with these guys? They can see God in the Old Testament, God in the New. And you know, always he has a trick. You know what is a trick? You don't need the Bible anymore. Take the message. So you don't have the criteria to go by. Do you know that's a Catholic spirit? Absolutely. Rome took the Bible away from the people so they don't see paganism. So the people were blinded. I see the message as a revelation of the scriptures. I'm tired of this chatter, Brother Brown calls it. I got a quote. You got a quote. We got a quote. Sit down. Bring it to the scriptures or go and sit down. You don't fit to be at the pulpit. The people are wounded. But we got a brother Jesus. We can go to him and kneel down. He says, Brother Jesus, my Savior, my God, my everything. You became man for me to redeem me. We'll have such a gospel. So much there. That if we study it, we lose our minds. We cannot contain it. The more you study, the more ignorant you become. In any area, machinery or something, you finish it, you get a degree or something, you know what you're doing. In the scriptures, the more you read, the more you realize how little you know. Ignorant. More ignorant and more ignorant. You know why? You depend on Jesus and not in ourselves. You see, we're not saved by seniority. I've been 20 years in the message. And so what? Probably means nothing. Right? We're not saved by seniority. We're saved by grace through the blood of Jesus. The next person comes around. I know this is the truth, brother. I feel it. Oh, we don't go by feeling. Somebody felt the wrong person one time. You know that? We don't go by feeling. If the words are so, let's follow that. Listen, David, now by revelation prophesying, says, I will declare my name singular, not our name, my name, that's Jesus, to my brother. This is revelation. Do you know that? This is revelation. You take just the word, my name, and you go back to the Old Testament and you start looking. You find out when Elijah was there, rebuild the altar of the Lord in the name of the Lord. And start looking now what Jesus has done for me and for you. Now we have the great Jehovah becoming flesh. Took flesh and became one of us. Now when you go home, read Hebrews 2, 10 to 14, and you'll find out. So our Savior now took flesh upon himself. Paul looks at it. He says, look at it. I study the Old Testament, he said. But now I see what happened. Jesus came and called the people brethren. Can you imagine that? For the Jew was a blasphemy. But for the Redeemer, he took flesh like you and I. Man cannot conceive that. But the great Jehovah took flesh upon himself. So Paul looks at it. He says, stop for a minute. He says, I'm going to write something to these Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8. I'm going to tell them something about it. And he tells these Romans on the 8th chapter this. On the 17th verse. He says, And if children, he says, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Why? We're in the same family, he said. What God has, joint heirs with Christ. Can you imagine? You know, the way that's said sometimes, one time Brother Branham says, always a hair in the biscuit. And we're driving together, I said, Brother Branham. I said, what is this thing, always an hair in the biscuit? This Brother Branham reminds me, when somebody dies, everybody wants part of the biscuit that's left. He started laughing with me because I just felt embarrassed. I said, what's going on? He said to me, David, don't try to look at that. That's Kentucky. I said, what do you mean, Kentucky? Tell me. He says, David, that's, he says, hair in the biscuit. It's like when you get up in the morning, have gravy. I don't eat gravy and things like that they eat. But he says, when you open the biscuit and there's a hair in there, it makes you sick. I was so far off. You know, in languages, you have that problem. You know that? The first time at the university, my professor says, now I want you to make up your mind. I wrote down, make up your mind. I wrote in my dictionary, make is to make up something, your mind. I said, that means going crazy. Going up. I said, no, it's decide, he said. So now he says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And join there with Christ. If so, he says, be that we suffer with him, that we may be able to glorify together. He puts the whole family together. Where he died at the cross, I was in him. Where he rose up again, I was in him. I'm part of the inheritance. You know, I was notified by Jehovah. It tells me you are part of the inheritance. When this happens and I'm going to distribute my wealth, you're part in it. You see, we cannot understand these things. We have such a great God. He put the types in the Old Testament, comes to the New and fulfills them. And Paul now looks at them. Paul continues in Colossians 1:18. Let's look a couple of three things, how they fit together. Colossians, the first chapter of the 18th verse, he said this. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. You know what? There are some second and third born after that. Might be you and I. He's the firstborn. What happened? He paid the price and paved the road and defeat Satan in the grave. So you and I, my big brother Jesus, help me to win the fight. Amen. The word is beautiful, isn't it? The word fits together. I hope you're getting something. I don't know how to scream and shout and kick my feet. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I just read the word, that's all. That is all that I know. But he said here this. God speaks here in Colossians, or the 18th verse, is the head of the body, with other words, the same body, which in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all this he might have, he says, the preeminence. Now we're getting to the adoption doctrine. You see, Brother David, what is adoption? People think adoption is you go to an agency and you look at a little baby. He says, hey, little baby, smile. Oh, I like you. The little baby doesn't smile. I want another one. Adoption comes from the word iotheto. Ios is a son. Theto is placement. God doesn't go outside to pick up some children that doesn't belong to him. He places you and I where sons and daughters of God. The placement, Brother Brown, call it the placement of the son. Iotheto, your son, theos, God. Place, iotheto, your son, theto is place. The placement of sons. Where did he take you? Take you from the filth of sin, the big brother. He's the kinsman redeemer. goes to the cross, pays the price, delivers you. He says, now we are brothers who are going to inherit everything together. And we sit around fussing. What a God we got. If you try to reason it, you cannot. You be gone. Try to reason it. You lose your mind. The people fussing, says, look at me. Says, I believe this, I believe that. I'm sorry to bring your brother Brown's name up sometimes. Because blessed are the ones that haven't seen and believe. We don't go by knowing Brother Brown. I don't care who you are. You go by the blood of Jesus. You are saved by grace. This hitchhiking stuff doesn't work. Name dropping stuff don't work. You need to go to the blood of the cross for redemption. He paid the price for you. If you have a question, talk to him. I remember when we were in Singapore with Brother Cyril. I had an experience there. We were talking with Brother Cyril and another minister, and there were some sisters there. And there was a young lady with a mini, mini skirt. She couldn't sit down. You know, there's such a thing, you know that? So we were talking. I didn't want to pay attention. So Brother Cyril was there, the other man. So a sister comes over. She said to me, come over, Brother David. She said, I cannot explain the message to her. So I go there. I say, she has been at the Thunder. She has been in these churches. And so I look at her as a poor creature. I said to her, do you know Jesus? She said to me, no, sir. I said, sister, throw everything away for a minute. Are you saved? No. I went there. I went there. I went there. And I went there. I says, do you want to know Jesus to save your soul? She looked at me and says, that's what I want. I said, let's go down to the altar and pray. She tried to kneel down. I turned my face, so somehow she got to drop herself down. I says, you want to pray first? She says, I don't know how to pray. I never pray in my life. You know, that's what Jesus wants. As I pray, you repeat. So I pray, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins and help me. Sister, can I forgive my sins and help me? Going on like that. We finished, she was sitting there. I got up, she was sitting there. I said, you know something? Brother, the Lord is dealing with her, and she's embarrassed to get up. I better leave. So she got to go home. Next day, she brings another one. Before the service, the one that went over and got saved, before that, the restrooms was in this side, and the people were waiting, you know, before the service. And here she comes with a mini skirt, goes to the ladies' room. I said, I wish she's not muddling around here. I wish if she cuts it out, you know. She said to me, Brother David. I said, Brother David. She was wearing a long dress now. Brother David, I said, what happened? She said to me, this is my friend such and such. She needs what I got. I don't know what I got, but she needs what I got. We confused her with the thunders, the parousia, and everything, and we forgot to tell her that Jesus died for you. What are we doing anyway? The poor thing. The other one says, that's what I want. See what you got. And you know, this woman went around to the message churches that were divided and called each one of them up. And they brought these people in. I look at all the people, Brother Cyril remembers that the YMCA there, I told him, was packed. At the end of the service, how many of you are in the message? You want to get saved? The place was full. What are we doing? Here's the price of the Redeemer. and who have gone so far away from the cross and the reality of Christ that we lose the sense of how to lead the lost to Jesus. With our doctrines, our fights, our arguments. We're doing that. And I learned a lesson. That the lost is sitting waiting somewhere. As Lord, please forgive us. I left. I didn't say much. I went home. I said to myself, you know something? If I didn't know Jesus, none of them will convince me to stay among these people. Because we become such theologians. And if we're true, it's okay, but we're fake. Our claims and our practices are so far apart sometimes that we lost the vision of the lost. We don't even know to tell a soul, are you born again? The only thing we know, I got the book of seals. The people are born again. What are you doing? How would you like to have a baby and give him a steak when he's a day old? How do you like that? Have you ever had a boy that's about 5 days old and grab him into our arms and take him to the barber shop and sit him in the chair and just shave him? It's a baby, right? Somewhere we have to treat him with milk. Paul says, milk I have fed you. No wondering. They know the message. They know the prophet. But where is Jesus? You know, unity and love exist in Christ and the gospel. We have transformed the message into religion. And we lost the vision. I never forget Singapore. That poor soul, I said, oh no. And you know, I was embarrassed to go to the altar with her because I said, what do people think about it? I said, I don't care what they think about it. She wants to get saved. I said, kneel down. Bam, she dropped on the floor. With no questions about that. When I asked her to pray, she says, I never pray in my life. I don't know how to pray. I said, can I pray? And you repeat, that's what I want. I love that. I love the sinner. I love to see a sinner finding Jesus, period. I like to see that kinsman redeemer be recognized by the lost that he paid the price and called them brother. Can you imagine now Jesus calling that sister? Tell my sister that she's a co-heir with me. Right? Two more verses because our time is up. The little boy says, over. Listen to me for a minute. Hebrews 2. The book of Hebrews. The second chapter. I like Hebrews. The 11th verse and the 12th verse. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. There's a unity there, right? What kind of a unity is this? He says, you and Jesus are one in the same family by the blood of the cross. But I put my name on the book. Doesn't mean anything. But I do this and that means nothing. You are saved by grace. He has done it all. But I fail the Lord. Look at your advocate. He stands your eternity to defend you. You know, the mystery to me is this. Here's the paraclete, the paracletos, Clesis, the court case. Stands by you in the court of justice. That's God in flesh, the same Jehovah in flesh. And the judge is the Word. You know that? And Christ is the Word. And you can never miss a case. Because he cannot be a liar. If you understand that, you shout, Lord, grace, grace, amazing grace. They are one now. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. He's not even embarrassed about that. You know what I would do sometimes? Don't tell them I'm a Christian. He's not embarrassed to call you brother. What a backbone, eh? This is my brother. I look at the little people sing today and the sisters there. I said, look at that. Look at this young lady singing. I said, it's good to see somebody sing out to the Lord instead of trying to show off. You go sometimes to the churches, they don't know the difference between worship and entertainment. They don't know the difference. They don't. You know, they want to show off. There's nothing to show off with God. The testimony took place. They sing unto the Lord His grace and mercy that healed the sister. Praise God, they sit down. I look at them. I said, look at the people of God. I'm identified with them. No beautiful dresses. No Christian Dior stuff on them. Nothing. Just simple people. Go on. But he says he's not ashamed to call them brethren. You better don't touch these little ones. Because you're going to pay. That's God's children. Don't touch the little ones. Stay away from them. If you don't understand it, just play dumb and keep on going. Because Jesus says he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Go back to your mind about that mother that had that daughter that the fire started and her face got burning. You remember that? And her girlfriend came to the station and was embarrassed to say this, but he's not embarrassed to say, I die for them. They're my brother. Can you see yourself on the other side? There won't be any scars on your face. You're going to be the best that you were. You say, Brother David, is that so? Yes. Job said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Not another flesh. In my flesh shall I see God. Paul says, this mortal shall put on immortality. Listen what I do. I go to the Old Testament. I come back to the New. Brother Branham says, you be on your best like you were young. This mortal shall put on immortality. You look to your best, no wrinkles, everything beautiful. But there's something about him at the wedding supper. He'll carry the nail prints in his hands. That's the redemption mark. That's how he died. He said to Thomas after resurrection, touch me. Right? He had them after resurrection. What do you say, Brother David? The redemption plan of what happened. How he paid the price all the way through. And now here his family, his brethren, he's going to bring his inheritance to them. It makes us feel in a state, I want to get closer to God. I want him. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Leave me alone with the fusses. Leave me alone with the arguments. He said that. We're in the message. We're deep. Anytime I hear that, I run out. We got it. I run out. That's an evidence they haven't got it. And Paul speaks here, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto him. Take that. And Psalms 22:22, put it together. You have the same Jehovah of the old in the new. Put together. Die for the bride. Don't you love the word to see it like that? You know? See this Jehovah. Make all the shadows, all the plants down there. And no matter what the offenses were, I don't know if the Lord tarries communion. Something bothers me. I might get into the offenses of the blood. Do you know there are serious offenses about the blood of Jesus? Very serious. I give you the penalty. And I don't want to spoil it. But Brother Bram spoke about that. This is the fatal mistake that Israel has done. He says, was the time that they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. You know what the scripture said about that? We're closing. Let's look at one verse. Numbers 35. Might be preparing for Sunday. We don't even know it. Numbers. About the city of refuge and so on. Read the 35th chapter when you go home. He says on the 32nd verse, and ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of refuge. With other words, there's no bail. That word bail. You cannot bail him out. And he should come again to dwell in, that he should come again dwell in the land until the death of the high priest there instead of the priest. It's in the Septuagint. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood is defiled of the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. The Jew says, let the blood rest upon us. God wiped them out. Why? His law right there. They have to die. They are children. How many generations? I don't know. Every little baby that Hitler killed. Every little thing that happened or persecuted. Everything that you can imagine that the Jews went through. The punishment that they go through is to fulfill the time element to get out of the area that says they're going to pay for it by death. Think of it. You see, Brother David, did it happen right there? No. 48 years later, everything was peaceful. They rejected the blood. Praise God, the high priest stood up. Go to the synagogue. Everything was beautiful. 48 years later, 1,200,000 Jews were killed right at the temple where the blood was like a pool. God doesn't forget. He said it will be like that. They thought just say words. It's such a deadly area to speak about the blood. If it wasn't for the blood today, that through sanctification. You say, Brother David, what happened to the one that's already sanctified? Go to Hebrews 10. You'll find out that this person is sanctified and God makes the provision for that person, even if the blood is moved out of the altar. Hebrews 10. You see, people are scared. He says, is the blood at the altar what I'm supposed to do? If you are saved, it's there. People say, you see, what's going to happen? The only thing I know, one of these days, the door is going to close. Now, you take a piece of paper, divide it in two, the page. In one side, write this. What's the evidence that the door is open, like in the days of Noah? What's the evidence that the door is closed? You see, God closed the door, so we don't know. Nobody gave us the right to close the door. People seems to me like they close the door after they get in. You know what I mean? They are super spiritual people. You know what? This kind of, I got it, nobody else got it type of a thing. Now, question if they have an ounce of it. And look at it. And I know I've lost loved ones But what is repentance? What is really crying sight for the abomination that's done in the city? Where these things happen? And we are fussing instead of building our faith on what our big brother has done. To look for the lost, to say, where is the lost? Where is the hungry? What can I do? I often said, I got many problems. Probably more problems than you do. But I have a formula. If God reveals to me who I am, I'll be so busy to take care of myself, the rest of the problems become minor. Have you ever thought about that? If God reveals who you are, you'll be busy and crying and says, Lord Jesus, forgive me. We have such bitterness, such strife in it. Blame. You see, ourselves are so corrupted. The scripture says, your heart and my heart is deceitful above all things. In other words, don't look around. Just look at yourself for a little bit and then you got enough to worry about, right? Just look at it. And you know what? That's how victorious Christians go through. You look at yourself and you say, young people ask, what can I do? You know, we can give them nothing anymore. Financially, the world is in trouble. Any way you look at it, there's nothing to give to the young people. We eat everything and leave them in a big bill behind them, paid. That's where they're coming from. I was reading an article not too long ago, a medical article, about some of the horses who were dying in Australia. There's some kind of a disease that goes to the lung, destroys their blood, and they don't even know it's happening, and kill so many horses and a man and so on. Try to find out where it's coming from. They can't find out where it's coming. You see, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Because God is God, and He will revenge. Let me bring in one more closer step here. What have we done with the blood of Jesus? What have we done with it? Is it life? He said, He's not ashamed to call you brother. Are you ashamed of Him? Big questions, right? Big questions. We might not like to answer them, but we might choke about it and say, praise the Lord, I love Him. I know you love Him, but He said, He's not embarrassed to call you brother. I hope you got something tonight to see the redemption plan through Christ Jesus. To see He pay the price. To see you have loved ones to pray. Children, husbands, wives, grandparents, neighbors, everybody. Pray for them. People, you know, they call me religious. I don't know what this means. Says, David, you are religious. Tell us about it. You see, you cannot explain salvation. They have to be born again. You cannot explain that. They know you are different. They know you go on and so on. They cannot figure you out. They look at you. You are religious. Any place you turn around, school and everything. You know? But they like to come and unload at you. You see? I used to lock my door at my office at the university, never answer it. Bang, 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 bang. I stay in there. I just want to be alone. You know, I probably I'm frustrated and I don't know it. I tried to sleep in hotels and I bought a pair of earplugs. I tried to go to sleep and then I start thinking about it. What about if the fire starts? I won't even hear it. I took the plugs out. You try to escape from one, you fall in the trap of another. You know? But I love the Lord. I hope tonight you start seeing that. By faith, we got a big brother. He paid the price. He's the one that's the kinsman for you and I. He had the price. You remember what I said in the beginning of the service? The one that holds him has no rights. God took the rights away from Satan. He paid the price of the lost to redeem you, because Satan cannot say boo about it. God claims his own. His own family, brings them back to himself, and Satan has no rights. He has done it all. A-L-L. But we're sitting sometimes, the word is so rich, I cannot contain it anymore. When I go home, I study. I take the phone off the hook Saturdays. I'm up at 6 o'clock, and I say, Polly, go shopping, do something. Go. I want to be alone at the house. I take the phone off the hook, and I'm alone to study. And then after you study for a while, you're so much in the Word that I get out and walk around the house for a little bit, go around in circles. And I come back in, and I start it again, and here I got to go back out again to go through circles. So much. You cannot hold it. Grace, amazing grace. And any time I turn around, I see a distance. And the distance is, he has done it all. I haven't done anything. I'm part of his problem. I says, Lord, help me to get myself out of the way so you can do something with me. And he corrects me, then I mess it up again. Have you ever been in that kind of a state? God corrects you, you're back in the same mess. May the Lord bless you. It's 9 o'clock. How much time I spend on this room? Well, God bless you, brother. It's, you know, the little boy said, we're finished. But I don't know if I speak on the blood of Jesus, probably. Can I say one thing? How long has been before you eat from the Word? Eat. We take communion. And we say we will go to probably 1 Corinthians 11, might go John 6, whatever you read. And Jesus said, this is my body. This is my flesh, he said. You know that? In John, my flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is the Word. Right? Do you know when you take communion, you're confessing that you eat from this book? You're a partaker? That's the flesh, the Word. When you take the wine, it represents the Spirit, that Word becomes alive to you. Do you know that? Mysteries of communion. The heathen were calling Jesus some kind of a heathen, because he eats the blood. Look what he says. And they don't know. The Catholics go transubstantiation doctrine in the other side. Then becomes the literal body, then that's what you do. But you see, he says, that flesh, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what you do, you're confessing, I'm eating from this Word, and I'm confessing it. And the blood makes it alive, the Spirit. And that keeps me going. I have my up and downs, but I know I love Him. Amen. And go on with Him. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Tomorrow, we'll try to keep it 45 minutes exactly, okay? We'll clock ourselves to make sure we don't have anything else but just say the things. It's down. And I know the Lord is going to bless you. Think about these things. When you're down, when everything falls apart, that you have a big brother by the name Jesus. He's going to come to be our refuge. He's going to take care of you. You know, He loves you. That's all. And you young people, I don't know how much you know the Lord or not. Examine your hearts. The question is, have you really, inside of you, have you felt that conviction of repentance in your life? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you don't know, just pray to God to show you. You know, simple faith. I know what I'm talking about. My daddy was in Azusa Street. I grew up in a Christian home. And I look at myself and I said, I pray, go to church twice Sunday, Tuesdays and Thursdays. My daddy had us pray at the table, so on. When I got 18 years old one day, I took the keys of the church. And I went over to pick up a chair and said, you're right on the aisle. Lock the door, make sure nobody's around. And I went down, I knelt down, I raised my hands up. I says, if there's a God somewhere, I want to know it. That's all I said. And I don't know what happened to me, but after I got up from there, I thought I was walking on the feathers, on the skies. And my friends were not my friends anymore. You know, it took a simple prayer. If there's a God somewhere, I want to know it. And remember, I was religious for 18 years in a Pentecostal home. I live only about 5 minutes walking distance from Mars Hill, the Acropolis, where Paul walked. Ministers used to come to stay in our home, and I didn't like them because they take my bed and I had to sleep on the floor. True. And they used to go over. My dad used to take them over to Mars Hill. I used to do that. And they sit down and cry. I said, what in the world these people are doing anyway, crying in a pile of rocks? I said, I wish they get through so we can go home to eat anyway. You know, I don't know. But when you find Jesus, it's another story. From religion becomes life. I know what I'm talking about. I know the power of his resurrection. I fail him. If I tell you my failures, and none of us, if we can play a video of our lives, would like to be demonstrated right here. None of us. Every thought and every intent. But just remember, he knows it, and he's not ashamed to call you brother. Isn't it beautiful? God bless you. I love you. Amen. Brother, what? Close? Oh, you want me to pray? We're going to pray, but what are we going to do? If it's all right with Brother Cyril. We don't classify people. We're just going to ask one general question. Where you're sitting, if you need Jesus, raise your hand now. I'll pray for you. If you need Jesus. You need more of Jesus. If you need Jesus in your life, God bless all of you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, you are my kinsman and their kinsman. One day, Lord, because of Calvary, I can call these people my brothers and my sisters because of the family of God. No doubt, Lord, we fail you in many ways, but you are our paraclete. You are the one that convicts us and restores us. And Lord, no doubt, we don't want to, Lord, but if we go on, we might fail you again. But Lord, help us, Lord, and give us always the spirit of repentance. Lord, we ask you right now to give us the strength of the Holy Ghost. Because we have the knowledge of the truth, but we cannot fulfill it sometimes. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing we can do. Lord, I need that power. I need it, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say I need the power of the Holy Ghost more in my life. Lord, bless these people, Brother Cyril, the rest of them here. Wherever they go to church, wherever they are, Lord, we are brothers and sisters because of Calvary, because of our kinsman Redeemer. Help me, Lord. Help me my decisions, Lord. Lord, please, Lord, be merciful and help me. Help the people, Lord. Lord, we bow our heads right now to pray for our loved ones, children in the world, family members in the world. Lord, be merciful. Do something, Lord. Deal with these hearts, Lord. You have to do it, Lord. We cannot do it. Help us, Lord, to just be on our knees constantly for them. to pray for the lost. Save them, Lord. The sick and the afflicted, Father God. Just be with them, Lord. Touch their bodies. The lonely at heart, Lord. The ones, Lord, that depressed and pressure and loneliness, and we know nothing about it. You know they're behind the four walls and by themselves and suffer. Lord Jesus, you're our brethren. You can go beyond these walls. You can go to the heart. And Lord, heal them, Lord. Heal each one of us, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.